courage to speak up. Yeah, like it's harder. It is hard to get a title sometimes. I'm going to be going to mostly two main scriptures to just counteract each other, to show the parallels. So our scripture comes from 1 Kings 18. This is where there was a famine in the land. There was a drought. And Elijah is going to go to face the false prophets of Baal. So in verse 1 of chapter 18, it says, "After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, 'Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land.' So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab." And then in verse 20 and 21, oh, I'm sorry, 16. "So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, 'Is that you, you troubler of Israel?' 'I have not made trouble for Israel,' Elijah replied, 'but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and had followed the Baals.' So Ahab sent word in verse 20 throughout all of Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. And Elijah went before the people and said, 'How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him.' But the people said nothing." So Baal idols were often made in the image of a bull, representing strength, fertility, and reflecting lust for power and sexual pleasure. Evil kings hated God's prophets because they spoke against their sin. They didn't want to hear it. They called him a troublemaker. "Are you a troublemaker again? I don't want to hear that." And the evil kings hated them because Elijah was challenging them to take a stand, to follow the true God. So many of them knew who God was, but in this issue here, they were mixing the worship of Baal and God. So they were choosing to worship God, but yet then they still wanted to worship Baal. So they had a conflict there, but yet they wanted to enjoy the freedoms and pleasure of the sin, worshiping Baal, but yet they didn't want to not acknowledge God. So he was challenging them to take a stand. The prophets, they worship God to please the prophets, but worship Baal to please Jezebel for favor at court. If we just go along with whatever is pleasant and easy, we may sometime realize that we've been worshiping a false god ourselves. False prophets, there's a false prophets versus true prophets. The false prophets worked for political purposes to benefit themselves, and the true prophets worked for spiritual purposes to serve God and the people. False prophets spoke only what the people wanted to hear. True prophets spoke only what God told them to say. The false prophets were the obstacles to bringing God's word to the people. They would bring messages that contradicted the words of the true prophets. They gave messages that appealed to the people's nature of sin and comforted their fears. "Well, that's okay. Well, you're in sin, but it's okay. Don't worry about it." So sometimes the problem that we have in our day and age, where we are now, we have to be bold to face what is not true and what is false. And a lot of times when you confront something or somebody that is adhering to falseness or sin, they don't want to hear about it. And a lot of times when you stand up against that and bring God's truth into a situation of God's absolute truth, we will be labeled. And we see that happening a lot too. So, you'll have to excuse my, I have so many pages, I'll probably skip over half of it. So, okay, so the other scripture I want to go to is 2 Timothy. I see, this was the Old Testament. God was showing him, the prophet, to go and confront them and have them choose. Now, we have to deal, in 2 Timothy, Paul is telling Timothy to be strong because Paul was at the time where he knows he's not going to be here any longer. He's going to be executed. He's going to die. So he's trying to encourage Timothy, who is taking his place, to encourage him and not to stand down, but to stand firm. So in chapter 4, 2 Timothy 2 through 5, says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head head in all situations, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, and discharge all the duties of your ministry. So, many speakers, teachers, writers, people, they have a tendency sometimes, if they don't want to hear that, the truth, because isn't it true that, have you ever heard that, well, there's no absolute truth. There's my truth. This is what I believe. A lot of teachers or speakers or writers or whatever, they do not tolerate truth or interest. They have no interest in absolute truth. They reject truth for sensationalism. They want a truth that fits their situation and their desires, that no one shall tell them different. It's hard to talk to somebody that has a strong will that's going to not accept what you have to say. Jeremiah also had this problem when God told Jeremiah to go and tell the people what I'm going to tell you to say. They're not going to listen to you, though, but still you have to say it. That would be a hard one, too. Now, I am reading off of my footnotes from my Bible of these things. They profess objectivity, but only the ones that suit their desires. It's like the itching ears, only wanting to hear what they want to hear. It's found in many places. It's found in campuses, in even churches, in movies, any kind of media. You're going to find it. Our job as Christians, though, is to be able to speak truth. Speak truth, speak light to the darkness. In 2 Timothy 3, 12 through 14, it says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know from whom you have learned it. So I wrote that, I highlighted, be convinced. We have to be convinced of what our truth is, what God's truth is. We have to make sure that we have, well, what's your proof? Where does God say that? So that's where we come in, to being very diligent and knowing what the word says, because you always have to be prepared ahead of time, especially with people who are very combative, that don't want to hear truth. So we know what absolute truth is because we have God's word, but we have to be convinced that this is what God says. And we are to be a voice for God to speak to the people. We are to be salt and light, right? We're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ. But Timothy, you know, he could have been pressured to tweak the doctrine a little bit so it would be a little bit more easy to handle and not upset or offend anyone. He was surrounded by false teachers. Just like him and Elijah, we must not let society distort or crowd out God's eternal truths. God's word is eternal. It is absolute. His word endures forever. It does not change. You know, I've said that over and over before, but it's always worth repeating. We have to stand on that. God does not change. Like we talked yesterday, he's the same person that wrote the scripture through his Holy Spirit and impressions from thousands of years ago that still applies to today. Because we can't say that that was the Old Testament, that doesn't apply to us. It does apply. Every word of God applies to us. We just have to know how to take that word and apply it to our situations of this time. Yes, we're in a different society and times have changed in our culture, but that doesn't change the absolute truth of what God says. And in Matthew 10, I have to make sure I didn't miss anything. Oh, I wanted to go through this. I did read that. Okay, Matthew 10. I didn't mark that one. 26 through 28. So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the rooftops. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. So whatever God is showing us through his word, by his light, through the darkness, we need to speak up during the day and from the rooftops. We are here for a reason, and we are planted here for this time and this season. So there is a cost to following Christ, because there are going to be oppositions. The Baals, the false Baal worshipers and the prophets, there was 450 of them, and Elijah comes to meet them and say, hey, we're going to see, is God God or Baal your God? Well, we have opposition to truth because, like I said, a lot of things, when people are comfortable where they are, they don't want anything to change because they don't want to face some of the things that they may not like to hear. So our job is to speak the truth. Who may oppose us? Well, it says in verse 18 and 19 of 10, on my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for I will be speaking, not you, but the Spirit of God will lead you. So, you know, we're going to have opposition. It says in government, through religious people that are going to not accept some of the false teaching that is out there right now are conforming to the world and not being transformed by the word. Instead of being transferred by the word, they're being conformed to the world. Our families, there's going to be family that opposes this absolute truth and speaking what is God's telling us to speak. But the truth will be revealed. Our soul cannot be harmed. God himself will acknowledge us if we acknowledge him. And God's love can sustain us through all that. Because remember, he was even telling Timothy, Paul was telling Timothy, be of courage, stand firm in what you believe, continue to teach, rebuke, correct, and use what you have been taught to bring that forth. All right. Now, Elijah, after he had this big victory with the prophets of Baal, and when God showed himself and burned up the altar, the sacrifice and all the water around it, then Jezebel gets nasty and starts, I'm going to kill you. So all of a sudden now Elijah is running for his life and he's under the broom tree. So he's discouraged and thinking, I just want to die. I'm the only one left. But God's, that wasn't true. there was 100 or more prophets that Obadiah had hidden already. He was hiding, and God revealed that to him. He thought he was the only one, and that just like Elijah, a lot of times we get discouraged and we get all kind of things come at us when we want to speak truth and stand for what God says. Stand for our beliefs. Stay true to our beliefs. So the enemy will use many tactics. We know he will use intimidation and fear. He will use false testimonies. He will use anything he can to wear us down. I wrote this while I was looking up things. I read this little thing and I thought it was interesting. The devil was having a yard sale. The devil was having a yard sale. He had tools laid out on a blanket. All of them have prices on it. And the demons are all looking and deciding which ones they want to buy. Well, nothing is new. All are well-used tools. There's hatred and jealousy. Well, they're pretty reasonable. They're affordable. Then there's lust and deceit. That costs a little more. Hypocrisy and pride. They would get quite expensive ones. But there was one all by itself, all dinged up, completely worn out from heavy use. It was priced way higher than all the rest. And it was labeled discouragement. Well, the demons asked, why is this one so highly priced more than all the other ones? And he answered, because it's been more useful to me than any other tool. I use it when I can't bring my victims down with any other tools. It crushes spirits, removes hope, and almost always creates defeat and despair. They ask him why it works so well when the other ones didn't then. He said, because few people realize that it belongs to me. Thought that was interesting. Because don't we feel sometimes when we look at all the changes and all the things that are so bad, evil's getting worse and worse, but it's like, wait a minute, we need to say this is wrong, take a stand, say no, that's not true. We have to not let the enemy discourage us and feel like Elijah did when he's under the broom tree and say, well, we're only a few people, how are we gonna be able to combat this spiritual battle that we're in? And it is a spiritual battle. It's good versus evil. But we got to remember, there are a lot more of us who know the Lord, who have the Holy Spirit abiding in us. Jesus lives with us, in us, and he gives us the courage and the strength to speak what we need to say at the right time and whenever it is. So the enemy uses that. God gives us our armor. He gives us his word. He gives us all the pieces to combat the evil in the world. And I don't want to say, well, God said it was good in the beginning when he created it, but then sin entered the world. So sin is rapid. It's the nature of man. And I'm not saying we are Christians and are perfect, because we are not perfect. And that's why we need Christ's blood and sacrifice to redeem us and give us that righteousness. Because God does stand on justice and righteousness. He wants us to be his representatives. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And we need to be bold as a lion. Do you sometimes feel like I just can't say that. That's too, I don't know what they'll think. It's not the time to worry about that anymore. I'm being convicted because I'm not one to speak up a lot of times. And then after the in season, be prepared, and out of season came and went, I messed up and missed an opportunity to speak truth to someone. And who knows what might have affected them to the good if I would have spoken those things. Which leads me to, we have to use our voices to speak what is good. We have to be doing it in love. Because don't we always pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom done on earth as it is in heaven. How do we do that? By bringing us into the play. We are here, we are to occupy our time. And I hear people say, yes, Jesus is coming, but we don't know when. But until then, we got to still do what we need to do. We need to fight for the issues that we have. And I do like there is a scripture in Proverbs 31:8 that says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Rights of all those who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor. That's part of our job too, to do that. And I will just wrap it up because we Christians have a duty to speak it and hold it as our foundation of life. We need to be salt and light and ambassadors of Christ. We need to stand up for justice and righteousness, to live a life worthy of the gospel. We need to keep our ability to gather together, encourage each other. And our nation, if you think about it, our nation was founded on godly principles. It was founded by people who dedicated this land to the Lord. And there's so much to you could look up, and I would you could read about the Cape Henry and Robert Hunt at Cape Cod or Cape Henry. And even, I thought this was good, you know, George Washington said this. He said, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. It's true. We need our godly values to be what's ruling our lives, ruling our, and this great nation that was founded upon people that stated that for God. They looked to God for their wisdom to rule and govern our land. It started out that way, and we've come way far away from that. So, and if we don't always agree with people, that, I mean, November 5th is coming, and it's important that we do use our voice to vote for godly values. I am not saying who to vote for or anything like that. I am just saying, as a people of God, we need to voice our votes through those votes of just... Nobody agrees with anybody 100%. I don't care who you are. If you love your kids, your mom, your best friend, there's going to be things that are you're not going to totally agree on. But what we must do is totally put our effort into agreeing with what's important. What is important is to spread the gospel, keep the freedom of our ability to spread the gospel, root for the poor and the lost, and use our voice to speak loudly. So I think that is this, and I know it was a short one, but you know what? I just felt it important to say today, so let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of living in a land of opportunity and freedom that was founded on godly principles, that you would govern. You are the Lord. You are Jesus' King. And Lord, we thank you that you instill in us your word, your absolute truth, and that you give us the times and the ability to speak up when we need to speak up and be bold as lions, be bold to speak truth, to save those from going to hell, really. We want to be able to snatch them from the fire and bring glory to you, bring in the kingdom and the harvest, Lord. And we thank you, Lord God, for your enduring love that lasts forever. We thank you for your mercy, and we are just thankful that you still are faithful when at times we are not faithful. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.